Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Battle of the X's Super Wrap-Up Podcast. For the reunion, I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I'm doing well. Ready to put a bow on this season, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, everything's now all said and done. We had the final, we had the reunion, and now we're ready to get our final reactions to everything that was discussed in the interesting reunion.
Before we jump in, one thing from last week. So we talked about whether or not you mentioned that Sarah and Jordan weren't in the ropes, or did we go to question about it? Regardless, it was mentioned that Sarah and Jordan weren't in the ropes in the final at the fire pit.
Right.
And I was like, what? That's crazy. I went back and looked. They were not in the ropes. They were so not in the ropes. And the only explanation I can think of is they immediately got in the ropes when Teresa and Leroy came. So it may have just been starting when everybody who's going to arrive has arrived. Or I don't know, because I guess they were still waiting on Jenna and Jay all night. So it is confusing, but basically as soon as Leroy and Teresa were dressed, everyone was in the ropes.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they gave them like a quick little time to like warm up their clothes and change and stuff like that. So that if that's the case, then maybe Teresa and Leroy were really, really close on Jordan and Sarah's tail that they got there just soon after they got there. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know what other.
Wait, how do you get that? No, I think they were really behind because they had all this time to have that whole conversation.
I was just thinking that maybe once Jordan and Sarah got there, they were like, all right, before you get in the ropes, you can like change and warm up your clothes. And then while they were changing and warming up their clothes, that's when Teresa and Leroy showed up.
Oh, I mean, it looked like from when I just went back and watched and editing is not reliable, but it did look like they had really been there for a while and just were relaxing while their like orthotics were roasting. But then it didn't look like Leroy and Teresa got that time because Teresa was like jumping into her coat in the ropes and Leroy didn't even get to pee. But
yeah, I mean, who knows? Who knows? It's tough to get any sense of timing, so you can't go in and face off the edit.
It's another advantage for arriving early that they got more time to be closer to the fire.
Well, a advantage. I don't know what the other advantages were. Yeah. So jump in. Do you want to go to the reunion or any other final thoughts from the finale from our last podcast?
No, I'm ready. That's all I got.
Okay. So we started off with the whole Sarah controversy. And
oh, wait. No, we have to just overall. No, I'm sorry. Overall thoughts starting from the jump.
The problem with MTV reunions is because they do a few of these after shows that a lot of this stuff has already been discussed. So it's like they're repeating discussions. So I never really get that much new stuff from reunions. So, I mean, this one was okay. It was just frustrating a lot of the times, but I mean, it was just as good as you can probably expect.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I agree with you about the after shows. And I also think that they didn't talk about certain things on the reunion because of the after shows. And I don't think that the after show gets the same. Like, I don't think because you cleared something up with Naya at the after show that she doesn't need to be held accountable for it as much as the reunion, as much as at the reunion. I hate when they only have certain people or like just the top finishers at the reunion. I don't know how you feel about that. Sydney Bolin wants to know, does anyone miss when the reunions had more attendees? Would have liked to have seen one of the Are You the One couples on the show to talk about joining the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with them not having everyone on the show because I'm like someone like Dustin and Jess, I don't know what they would really be able to talk about. But yeah, I agree that there should be more than just the top six teams, especially since some of the top six maybe weren't as vital to like the story as some of the other ones. So yeah, I think definitely having an Adam and Brittany there and really also Johnny and Avery probably could. I mean, the old Johnny Avery fight and all that stuff, that was a pretty big part of at least the early going of the season. So I think those two teams probably should have just been there just for discussion purposes.
That's exactly what I had written down, Avery and Johnny and Brittany and Adam, because if Avery's name is going to come up, like she should be there. Like that just shows that she's a relevant person to the stories.
Yeah.
And I know they had Avery and Brittany and Adam and Johnny all on after shows, and maybe that's how they account for it. My thing is, if you were on the show, you should be at the reunion, even if you don't get asked a question. And you never know, especially with MTV, some of those fringe people are more willing to jump in so that they can get time and tell you the more interesting things.
That's all. Like, that's fair.
And I also thought maybe, I mean, I know they've done this before, but it did take away attention from Knight, Jemmy, CT, and DM not being there because they wouldn't have been there anyway. So I don't know if that was a factor, if it was like Survivor when they moved half the cast off just to not call attention to Brandon Hance not being there, obviously for different reasons. But I still think, I mean, who knows if Jemmy would have come. My guess is CT probably wouldn't have come. But regardless, even if those two people decided not to come, I still think everyone should have been on stage.
That's fair. I would have no problem with everyone being there. I also would have no problem with everyone not being there, but I wish there was more people there than what they had.
Compromise.
Yeah, I think so.
And then my overall reaction to the reunion, I'm going to plagiarize a snippet from the genius rant that makes Liz Irwin's this week's Voice of the People. Quote, Naya needs to crawl back in a hole and form some sort of chrysalis around herself so she can change into something better. Leroy needs to see Johnny threw him to the wolves, but didn't have the balls to do it to his face like Sarah did. Zach needs to crawl back into a womb and just shape for another 9 months and start all over again. And Bananas needs to get a job. Well done.
How's that you really feel?
Oh, man. You can go to our Facebook, Rob's Facebook page, and read the thread for the rest. There were two other paragraphs I didn't read, but I just thought that was so hilarious. And that's pretty much my overall feelings on the reunion.
Yeah, that was my main thing with the frustration with the whole Naya. Especially just my whole frustration with what things these people took seriously and what things people are able to laugh off, which kind of was the opposite of the things that I would be able to take seriously and the things that I'll be able to laugh off. And that's very frustrating.
Yeah, I don't know if that's, again, a product of the after show having occurred. And, like, Naya was way more serious about it, I think, on the after show than she was on the reunion. And maybe she felt like she paid her dues.
I think so. The problem, though, is I don't know how many people are really watching these after shows as opposed to that also watching the reunion. Like, I the big fans obviously are, but I feel like a lot of people, when the episode ends, they're done. Or they just record the regular episode. They're not recording after shows. So when they come to the reunion, this is when they want everything discussed. So even though you may have discussed things at the after show, you have to rediscuss them. Because my guess is a lot of people didn't even watch the after shows.
Yeah, I agree. And then one last thing before we get to the Sarah segment. Sorry. The appearances of everyone. Huge thing, right? Because this is possibly your last time ever on television. But it especially with these shows is like, I think I've talked about it before. Like, I would agonize about what I was going to wear. This is when you have control. You can get ready beforehand. Mm-hmm. Zach looked absolutely disgusting. We got more than one tweet about his massive pit stain.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there were even someone like Wes seemed like he just like woke up in the morning and threw on a sweater and just like kind of showed up. But I guess for at least he seemed a little more put together than Zach.
And then somebody brought up to me who was like, the girls look so much better on the challenge with like little to no makeup and in t-shirts than they do when they put on these like disgusting rhinestone chokers and like see-through dresses that are like, what are you like? It looks like you're all wearing wigs. Like, you know, for the most part, besides Sarah, it was Jenna, like Nani and Teresa just looked like painted. And I was like, you guys are so much prettier than this.
Yeah, it's like with Survivor. So people look better on the island.
And then we got some hilarious comments about this stuff. So Nicole Rogerson, do you think Teresa collects Dalmatian dogs? She had a huge Cruella de Vil vibe going through the reunion.
plus one for that one.
And then Zachary Zarnett-Klein, what can they do to make Leroy's head to upper body ratio look more proportionate on camera? I can't take it. I didn't notice it so much at the reunion.
I didn't notice it at the reunion either. I just still think of it all the time now in his confessionals. And it sucks because you've just ruined Leroy for me, probably forever.
I think Leroy ruined himself at this reunion. But let's get into it.
Yeah, so the way the reunion was broken up, they actually did it pretty well. They broke it up all into various clips, so it would be easy for us to break down. So the first clip was, I called it the Sarah dominating the show clip. And this was basically just all of her strategies and mastermind and all of this stuff leading up to her voting in Bananas and Nani. So what did you take from this opening clip?
I totally disagree with you about these clips being like Sarah's a dominator. I felt like the way it got set up where the first question out of the gate is Zuri saying, do you care to address your naysayers? Not like, congrats, you did awesome, let's talk about your strategy. It was like, do you want to say something for yourself? I felt like And then I felt like, why does MTV show a package as though Sarah's scum? Like, my interpretation of this package was Sarah wheeling and dealing and being exact and like being like, meh, 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 like, I'm going to play them against each other. And like, yes, that was very impressive gameplay, but it looked like they were just setting her up to get attacked. And then they let her get completely attacked. Like, the second she says anything, Naya is like, oh, you rehearsed it to say it with so much conviction. Like, why is Naya allowed to attack her like that without Zuri saying, like, we'll get to you, Naya, we'll get to you. Like, go ahead, Sarah. Like, why is she allowed to do that? I felt like the entire reunion, Naya was allowed to just unleash, and, like, it was, like, Zuri supported it.
That's interesting. I took away that clip of them being pro-Sarah and them embracing the game. Maybe the cast didn't, but I thought the clip was a good representation for Sarah, not a bad one. So that's interesting that you took basically the exact opposite. But for now, I mean, I'm sure that people did jump in and tell them, you know, wait your turn and stuff like that, but they don't show that stuff. They just let...
They usually do. Well, you've seen it, I guess, get edited out before, but I've seen it on the show where they do say it. Like, I felt like Naya needed to be put in her place on camera by the host, and that never happened, and the opposite happened. We'll get to it, but I felt like Zuri, like, was loving Naya.
I mean, possibly, I don't know why... I thought some of the cast should have tried to put Naya in her place. I feel like Naya was able to take her opinion on every topic, even topics that had nothing to do with her. Especially for this one. This was the topic that I don't understand. Naya really has no role in this decision at all. Like, I understand it was the person being thrown in to face her and Leroy, but you don't see everyone else who's already in elimination freaking out over someone being thrown in against them. It's the person who's being thrown in that should have any say in discussion. Naya, like, just... shut up. Like, you have no discussion in this. Just Sarah made the move. Like, why should she make things easier for you? And this is the point that I wish someone brought up, that you brought up last week, about how, you know, you don't want there to be a layup for the final. But Naya wanted a layup for the final elimination. So why shouldn't she be called a hypocrite for that? That's the point I wish someone brought up.
Well, the thing with this, yeah, Naya completely is overreacting, but it is the decision that caused her to go crazy. Like, it is consistent, at least, with the show. But... I mean, Wes wanted that too. But Sarah and Jordan said no to this deal, and this deal is exactly what Wes was offering them to begin with. So, like, no matter what vet goes out, you put Jay and Jenna in. Like, this is when Wes wanted the layup too, is just to get to the final. And I mean, Sarah and Jordan said no to this. We thought that was stupid to say no, that you might as well lie. But from the beginning when this came up, Sarah and Jordan said, we're not going to do that. So I don't know why it was a surprise to Naya, but whatever. I just thought it was really upsetting throughout this whole thing, the way that Sarah gets treated with little defense. Yeah, you're right, from the cast, but also from who I feel would be the voice of MTV in the situation, the host.
Right. And this is also where we got the bananas talking about how, you know, her and Sarah were such good friends that they went rock climbing together, and he set her up with his hairdresser. But so this is why Sarah should have torpedoed her game to help him. And Bananas, again, the way Bananas keeps going, it keeps getting worse and worse for his outside reputation with the fans about how he's treating Sarah and treating this whole thing.
One thing I was upset, again, and I overall was really let down by Zuri, because I had such high hopes for her from the after show, but... Bananas starts after the hairdresser thing to say, and people have accused me of playing a shady game. And then Zuri interrupts him to ask her own question that takes it in a totally irrelevant direction. And then he never again is held accountable for the stuff that he's done and said in the past. And I thought that was horrible, horrible hosting, because, and I totally understand, like, sometimes you have your set of questions and you just jump in, but not you, like, right, a host in general. But I thought that was, like, if Bananas is coming to address what basically everyone in America has been screaming at their TVs, who watches this, so one person in America, let him talk. And then we never got any accountability from him about the island stuff.
That's the thing. That's what, I don't know if it's the hosting fault or the editing fault, because they do cut and paste, like, various quotes and stuff that don't really seem relevant at the time, or were even said much later on, and they put them in various different spots. So I don't know if that was Zuri cutting him off, or they just decided not to show Banana's defense of himself with the island. But that, if either way, it's a horrible decision, because I think after Sarah's made that move, the biggest talk of the town was that this was exactly what Bonanza did to Paula. And I thought that 100% needs to be addressed at the reunion. And I don't know why they chose not to either air that or ask him about that.
I just can't think that they, and maybe she asked him later, but in this moment, that would be purposely editing so that she looks like she interrupts him. Like, wouldn't they just go to, I feel like the editors are better equipped to make a smoother transition than to overlap her soundbite onto his. Like, right. That to me would make no sense, even cutting it out. And maybe she readjusted it later, but I thought, you can go back to the tape. It really does seem like they would have had to purposely layer it over to look like she was being a bad host.
Yeah. But it's something like you even saw, I think she asked Wes, like, what do you think of Sarah's game? And then, like, even before he answered, they did a weird cut to, like, John A., Zach, and Jay all of a sudden making comments about it. So the editing for the reunions are always very weird and choppy.
Yeah, I can't speculate, though. I'm going to go on what is shown.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And it really looked like she interrupted him when he was because it wasn't part of the question. It was Bonanza's. I know there's a fine line between, like, that host trying to take control of these group of banshees because they're, like, reckless and they just will talk forever about the same topic if you don't move them along. But I thought in this case it was a missed opportunity or mistake.
Now, when this move initially happened, we had a question about, or Sarah said that if she was a man, that she wouldn't be treated the same way because making the moves as you would being a woman. Now, I didn't think that had a role in this, but now seeing this reunion and seeing how people like Wes were lauded for playing both sides and even someone like Zach for playing both sides, I'm starting to think that if someone like Jordan had made this move or another guy made this move, that the reaction would not be like this. So do you think that maybe that's just because Sarah is a woman that this is the backlash that's happening?
Unfortunately, I think, well, Jordan did make that move. Like, I don't like that they're saying, oh, Sarah made the move. Like, Jordan made the move. Jordan could have spoken out against it. Jordan could have done more to say no. Jordan could have forced it. Jordan made the move. I don't care if he was like, no, no, I'm scared at first.
Mm-hmm.
It's a team. And that's what Wes said. Like, when a couple of them were defending Sarah a little bit when asked, and Wes was like, I think they played a great game as a team. And that's so significant. This isn't just was Sarah's show. Even if Jordan wants to say it was, he was there. He was a player. He was involved. Anyway, I think it's hard because everybody hates Wes. So it's like Bonanza's whole BS thing is with Wes, I know what team I'm on. Like, I know we're not working together. When he screws me, I know. Like, Zach and him were not friends. Like, Zach. Wes had no relationships with these people that were not in the game. And I think that that's why what Naya and Bonanza hide behind. They're hiding behind, like, you said you'd never say his name. You said you were friends for 8 years. You were this. So it's like you're a snake because you went against your friend as opposed to you go against anyone. So it's hard. It's hard to say, but I definitely think it's a valid point. I mean, Wes did do all of the same things just to people he wasn't close with.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
What do you think of Sarah's analogy? She says people in the NFL are friends and they don't lay down on game day is basically what she says. And Johnny is like, they know what team they're on. And Sarah screams, I know what team I'm on. I'm on this team. And she points to her and Jordan. What do you think of that?
See, the last point that she made is the right point. The analogy, I don't think really ties out because I'm trying to think of a better analogy because the football analogy doesn't make sense because yes, you are clearly on different teams. You're clearly going against this one person where when you're in like an alliance and it's a little more touch of gray than it just two teams playing football against each other. I'm trying to think it's like if you're playing poker and you're playing with one of your friends in some type of tournament. You're not just going to let this other person win a hand just so you can both make it to the end. If you have a chance to beat them, you're going to beat them because only one person can win. That's kind of more the analogy.
I don't get how that's different than football. I thought the football analogy was great because, I mean, I think it's kind of the same as your poker analogy. Like, if you're friends, you're on each different teams. Like, you want each other's team to do well potentially when you're not playing against them. But when it comes down to only one of you can win, then you're going to tackle them. You're not going to let them get a good catch because they may get more money later in their contract or whatever. Like, if you have to keep them from the money so you get the money, so you get the win. Yeah, and for him, I always was frustrated with Bonanza's. I know what team I'm – like, I didn't know what team I was on. I thought you were on my team. At the end of the day, that's on you, and that's foolish because you have to win and beat every other team so that you can win. So you know exactly what team you're on. You're on Nani's team. Mm-hmm. You're not on Sarah, Jordan, Bananas, and Nani's team. So I thought, I mean, I think poker's a fine analogy. I think any sport is a fine analogy. Like, if you have relationships with people, you want them to do well until it's going to hurt you, and then you're going to crush them.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the end point. I just think the analogy is still a little off. But, I mean, we're on the same page with this, but just the analogy.
Yeah, I mean, there's no perfect analogy when it's a game show with alliances and friendships pre-existing. But in terms of any sport, poker, whatever, I mean, it's the same loose thing. But then she says, it's a motherfucking game show.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. Is this is a game show. This is not real life. It may be their real life for a couple months, but this is not real life. So you may be friends, but this is not screwing someone over in actual life situations.
I will say that in Max Dawson's Survivor class, Stephen Fishback and Aaron Lobdell from Token Jeans and Cochrane came to speak, and Professor Dawson, this is Max, whatever, Max had me meet them at the hotel to escort them to class. And we were talking about Survivor, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't get it, though. It's just a game. Like, slit each other's throats. Like, that whole thing. Like, it's a game. This isn't real life. Like, work it out when you're back in America. And I really embarrassed myself because all of them immediately were like, you don't understand. It isn't a game. It is real life. Like, the relationships you have there are all you have. And everyone who's at home doesn't understand. And blah, 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 blah. So I totally agree. But I think there is an element to people who are on these reality shows where you have to have some trust or reliance on each other. And you feel like you've built friendships that if you do get screwed, that carries over to not being invited to a wedding and not ever talking again. As mm-hmm. much as I hate that, because it makes for much less interesting TV.
Yeah, I just think I agree with that. But I think the people who win these shows are typically the ones who are able to separate themselves from the game and realize this is a temporary situation and I want the money to help me in my permanent situation. So good for Sarah to be able to do it and bad on Bananas for not.
No. I think it's only a result of the people who always say it's a game are the people who made the move, and the people who are saying this was real are the people who got screwed.
Yeah, exactly.
Bananas would have made this move. I don't think that Bananas wouldn't have screwed Sarah if he needed to win. He just wasn't in that position.
And here's the biggest thing that, again, I don't understand why it's not being brought up. Just win. If Bananas just beats Leroy and Teresa in that elimination, you're still in the final. So you know what, Bananas? Just win. Okay? That's all you had to do. She didn't vote you out of the game. She voted you into elimination where you can win and make your spot in the final.
Yeah, I mean, they had two chances.
Yeah, they lost twice. They lost twice. You know what? If you lose twice, you don't... You lose once, you really don't need to even deserve to be in a final. But losing twice, you definitely don't.
And then Sarah's supporter, Zuri, asked, like, does anyone think Sarah made a good decision? And she gets defense, a slight defense from Zach, John A., Wes, and then extremely frustrating support from Jay. Were you as frustrated by his response as I was?
I was frustrated by everything Jay said at this reunion. So this was part of the list. Yes, sure.
Jay's like, it's over. It's on her. Whether it was shady or not, she won. It wasn't even defense. It was just like, it's over. She won already. Jay should be kissing her feet. Yeah. That move is the only reason I am usually I say, oh, you know, you never know what the dome's going to be. I am 100% confident that had Sarah put in Jay and Jenna at any point, but especially against Leroy and Naya, they would not have even had a chance at the money to quit.
that elimination would have ended in probably 30 seconds or less on both sides. So, yeah.
I just can't get over it. Like, I almost wanted... Bananas does eventually cut Jay down, but it's like, I wanted somebody to be like, Jay, that is the only reason you were in third place. You got disqualified from third place.
I mean, we'll get to it later, but yeah, Jay really came to this reunion with, like, this weird confidence for someone who completely failed at a final. It was even like seeing him on Twitter. You know, if I know going into a television show when it's going to be aired that I failed miserably, I would not be talking as much smack as Jay tried to do throughout the season on Twitter. And especially I wouldn't do it at the reunion in front of all the people where I failed miserably. So Jay's whole planning for his downfall was very bizarre.
It's like Zach. Like, Zach came to the reunion with his tail between his legs last season and made a joke and said, like, yeah, I sucked, but, like, I'm glad I have $15,000, whatever he had.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that Zach handles anything well, usually, no. But I think Zach did handle his complete embarrassment well at the reunion. Last season.
Not this season.
Do you agree with Bananas that this is hands down the shadiest thing that has ever gone down?
I don't think it's shady. Like, it's, I know it's not a game, but it's a game, but it's not shady to put yourself in a better position to win. Like, I don't know what other shadier things we could point to, but I just don't think this is shady.
I'd say that Bananas getting Leroy sent in by Jordan and Sarah and throwing the challenge to get his friend sent in so that it wasn't on his hands was the definition of shady.
Yeah, totally fair.
Doing it to your face straight up, this is what it is not shady. That was shady. Wes's manipulation of Leroy to send Zach in was a complete shady move. Those already, I think, were 10 times shadier than this move.
I completely agree. Very fair.
So I don't even know that we need to ask this question, but Zachary Zarnett Klein wants to know, can you guys make a final call on who's right, Sarah Bananas? I feel like I know what Brian thinks, but what about you, Allie? I feel like I know what both of us think.
Does he think that I think Bananas is right? Because I think I've been pretty clear that Bananas has totally been wrong on this.
I don't know, but...
we're both Team Sarah. It's not even like a debate.
Yeah, no, there's no debate. Sarah was 100% right. Bananas is a whiny brat. I think... Maybe he knows what you think because there was a time when we asked you about Bananas and
I hope so.
Went against it. But
hope
we'll see.
Is not the perception that I think Bananas is in the red in this one.
And should we move on to Naya? You ready? Buckle up.
Naya, or do you want to do Nani first?
No, there's a Naya portion first when she gets asked if she has anything to say for like the disgusting thing she said to Sarah.
Oh, yeah. And she was like, this was the point that I was brought to or something like that. Yes. Oh, my God. She's the worst. Just the worst.
When anyone starts asking rhetorical questions as though they're taking responsibility, it will be immediately followed up with a lack of taking responsibility. She's like, was it right? No. Was it immature? Yes. But that was the point I was brought to.
I really, really hate when someone is asked a question and they answer it by asking questions to themselves and answering it. It's like one of my biggest pet peeves. Just... instead of saying, did I do something wrong? Yes. Say, I did something wrong. I just hate that. But complete sidebar.
Am I sad that Beth left me? Sorry. Big Seinfeld point on that. Okay. And then they finally, I thought this was a good question, except it was asked to the wrong people and wasn't drilled enough. Like, I thought Zuri was going to be able to ask questions and then get follow-up questions to make them answer like she had on their after show. But she basically says, like, Jenna and Jay, like, you were there. What happened? Where were you? And Jenna's like, I felt bad. I felt bad, but I wasn't going to say anything. And then it was a little much. And then Jay is like, it's hurtful to watch back. Why wasn't there a follow-up? Then why didn't you say something? They just were like, okay, moving on.
I love Zach saying, oh, yeah, your sexual harassment usually makes people uncomfortable. Coming from Zach. Hello. I think a lot of things you did make people uncomfortable.
Oh, I was like, are you accusing him of sexual harassment?
I'm accusing him of other types of harassment. Maybe not sexual, but mental and emotional.
Yeah, so I just didn't think that people who needed to be held accountable were held accountable at this reunion. But then we get to the...
That's why we're here.
Well, we can't do anything about it. Hmm. The why does everyone hate Naughty package?
that was a fun package, right? Fun times. I don't care why everyone hates Naughty. I still don't understand it. Do you?
Well, we'll get to it a little bit later because we got a question about Teresa's violence. But let's set this up. Is this the first season that Nani's had any drama with girls ever?
I don't think so. I mean, I know she gets into a lot of fights. I'm just trying to, like, remember if they're all with guys. But, I mean, I know she had, like, a big one with Frank at one point. I think she's had blowouts with other girls.
Well, she had a huge blowout with Camilla over nothing.
That's famously. Right, over absolutely nothing.
So just immediate No, this is not the first time.
Oh my god, that fight was amazing. That literally was over nothing. They just started screaming and yelling at each other while like clawing each other's eyes out over absolutely, literally nothing.
So, I mean, okay. I mean, I'm not going to rake Nani over the coals for that, but I was like, I almost did a spit take when she said that. I guess in general, her drama is very short lasting. Like, I'll give her credit. This is probably the longest, most consistent drama she's had because Teresa won't let it go. Like, Nani's ready to squash everything the next day.
Yeah, that's the thing about Nani. She can get drunk, flip out, and go absolutely apeshit. And then the next day, be like, all right, you want to grab a beer? Sure, we're done. But, I mean, I don't really have a problem with Teresa not wanting to be friends with someone. Like, that's, like, seems like the biggest thing is that everyone's pissed at Teresa for not reconciling things with Nani. But you don't have to like everyone on these shows. So I don't understand why it's a big deal that Teresa doesn't want to reconcile things with Nani.
I don't think it was about them being friends after this. I think it was about how I treated you was not cool. And, you know, I'm not going to spit on you every time I see you. Like, I don't think it had anything to do, like, Nani was saying, like, we were friends last season. Like, that was what she was saying. Like, I was shocked because I loved you and we were cool. And Teresa was like, yeah, I liked you too. I'm just different. People change after a year and a half. And so I think that was, like, the friendship issue. But at the end of the day, Nani just wanted to be like, it squashed what happened in the past. Like, I don't think they were like, now let's go get mani-pedis. Like, I just think she wanted to be, like, cool, quote unquote. So that you're not looking at me like laser beams are going to come out of your eyes and melt my face. That's like how Teresa looks at her.
That's fair. I just don't think it's a big deal that someone doesn't want to be cool with someone. Like, that's the thing.
But for no reason. I think it's kind of nasty what Teresa's doing to Nani, because it's literally, if you don't like someone, you shouldn't. I mean, we're all humans, right? You don't go around like making someone feel like shit just because you don't like them personally. You just don't need to get lunch. Like, you don't need to abuse her. I mean, like, the stuff she said about her behind her back was disgusting.
Oh, I mean, it absolutely was. It just seemed like the biggest point that Nani had was that she wanted to try to apologize and treat it. She just didn't want to have anything to do with it. Or just, that to me, I just didn't think that was that big a deal. But no, I mean, Teresa, like, her treatment of Nani during the season was not good. And I'm sure if they were on a season again, it would probably be similar. So that is not the best way to handle it. But I just don't think it's a big deal that they don't want to patch things up.
No, but it's almost not Teresa's decision to decide that she's in the right and I'm not going to apologize. Like, by Teresa, this is what frustrated me. Teresa was like, I give zero fucks, like zero fucks about you. But then if she really didn't care, you wouldn't mind being like, it's whatever. We're not friends. We don't need to talk. I shouldn't abuse you. But like, that's it. Like, if you really didn't care, you wouldn't be talking about her behind her back. You wouldn't be making nasty looks at her to her face. You wouldn't be doing any of this. You would just literally give zero fucks. You wouldn't need to say it.
That's true.
So, I mean, and then she's like, I have 35K. It feels good. Like, that had nothing to do with it. Teresa was just filled with vile hate towards her and then not being willing to give it up, which at the end of the day will hurt Teresa more. It hurts more to carry the hate than it does for Nani. Nani doesn't care.
It also comes down to the point that, as we've seen even on these shows, Teresa is not good in one-on-one confrontations at all, in any format.
Yeah, so she's only good sneaking behind your back and being a coward.
So her having to confront someone never ends well for anyone. So it's just another example of that.
Mia Pia wants to know, are you guys team Teresa or team Nani? To me, Teresa couldn't even give any reason to why she suddenly turned on Nani. Is Nani the bigger person for saying whatever happened is in the past happened? Let's be women and just get over it.
I mean, I guess if I had to be a team, I would probably be team Nani, but I'm not, I don't really think this is the kind of like just weird fight that I just don't have that much of an opinion on.
Yeah, but it's a weird fight because Teresa's fighting Nani and has no reason behind it, and Nani's like, let's just be adults. Like, it's honestly, I don't like Nani either, but in this situation, Teresa's making absolutely no sense and is just having these extreme feelings of hate towards her and making everyone uncomfortable. Like, it's uncomfortable to watch someone say, you know what, let's just be a bigger person and move on and just not be talking shit about each other on Twitter. And Teresa's like, no, I hate you. I don't care. I don't care at all, but I hate you. Wait. Whatever.
And then speaking of uncomfortable,
we have another question. Oh, okay. Sorry. Jorge Alvarado. I don't get why Teresa is so disgruntled. Do you get it?
No, I don't know. I mean, I just think she's just probably so over all these people and stuff. But then again, if she's so over them, why does she still have hate? I don't know. Teresa's a tough one to crack sometimes.
Here's my psychological analysis of Teresa.
Here we go.
I think it's clear as day, especially because she continues to say, like, I was a different person on those challenges. She, when Leroy makes a comment that they hooked up, and he made kind of a vulgar comment about their hookup, and she was like really upset about it. Teresa clearly regrets the way that she portrayed herself on TV in the past. She regrets hooking up with people in public. She regrets being linked to several guys. And she said that on the show, basically, in so many words. And she sees Nani handling herself the way she wants to handle herself, hooking up with people in public or whatever she does. I mean, she didn't do that this season, but whatever. And she's like rebelling against her old ways and misdirecting her own self-hate and regret onto Nani, who she used to be friends with, and they used to get along and do the same things. And so now she's misjudgy to try to cover her own insecurity of how she behaved in the past. Like, I don't know if she found religion and if she's very religious or what, but she is ashamed and she's pushing that off herself and deflecting it onto Nani. And that's what's happening here.
Wow, that got very deep.
It just, that's, I mean, there's no other explanation. She has an axe to grind against everyone who acts the way that she acted.
I can't refute it. So let's go with Allie's psychological corner.
And then this is where my frustration really picked up, is this was like the Zuri loves Naya segment.
So yeah, we get the Naya backlash about, not the backlash, but the discussion about her fight with Nani. And I mean, yeah, it seems like Naya's able just to like laugh off all her stuff. Like, oh yeah, you know, I didn't really mean any of that stuff. I just kind of, I got set off, and I'm, you know, I'm not like an evil person, but this is just what is brought out of me. It's always what is brought out of her and not really what she's doing.
I am not comfortable using the proper amount of expletives that I want to use to describe my frustration with this situation and being recorded. So if we were, you know, in a bar with our closest listeners and there was no recording going on, I would really tell you how I feel. But instead, I'll just say, she sucks.
That is the complete G version of that.
I mean, I loved when Sarah was like, we're not talking about me anymore. We're talking about why you're a monster. This one, like, yeah, when Naya says, I reacted because of how passionate I am about friendship. I wanted to be like, I literally wrote my notes, F you. Like, are you kidding me? It's not even friendship with you. You're claiming that you sexually and verbally and emotionally harassed two people because of Sarah's friendship with Bananas. And you're so passionate about friendship that you couldn't contain yourself to, couldn't help yourself, but abuse them.
I had a bad feeling with Naya going into this season, and she's just like the worst person I've ever seen on this show. And I feel very comfortable saying that.
And then Bananas, though, defends Naya, which I don't understand.
Thing
I've ever seen him do. Awful. This season.
Awful. I agree. Even worse than this backlash towards Sarah, that he's like condoning, not even condoning, like defending Naya's actions.
I don't understand where his girlfriend is on this, right? Like, if I was watching my boyfriend self-destruct on television, I would try to encourage him to take a step back and realize what he's defending and saying. Like, I don't understand why no one who cares about Bananas in his life is stepping in or having any sort of influence on him.
Yeah, you don't want to be in Naya's corner on this stuff. That's not a good landing spot at all.
And he's done countless interviews since he left the show defending himself all over town.
Right.
Defending Naya, defending the situation, continuing to hate Sarah. Like, it's really shocking to me that, like, nobody's who's in his life is being like, hey, man, just don't say anything anymore about it. Like, you'd be better off.
It's like, you lost one. You can lose one every once in a while. Just take it and move on.
And then this was my favorite, when Naya is like, oh, I crossed the line touching Jordan. And Jordan is like, take the touching, the hands off the table. It's the words. And then Naya's like, what do you mean?
Yeah. It's like, what words did I say that were so bad? I didn't think I said anything that bad. It just shows that she's just completely delusional with everything that she does.
Well, this is when Zuri should step in at this moment when Naya is like, what words? I don't think it was even delusional. I think she was just being that disgusting. And then Leroy, though, steps in and claims that Jordan has talked the same way to girls on the show. And it's like, where is the host to rein this in and be the only sensible person and defend Sarah and Jordan or hold Naya accountable to what she said?
It was all around. It seemed like everyone except for Jordan and Sarah were just like brainwashed by what Naya was saying and like was like, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. And Jordan and Sarah were sitting there like in the twilight zone, like, what is happening? We're being like being raked over the coals for playing a game and doing something that helps us win money. Naya is saying all like sexually harassing people, saying all these horrible things. And she's like, oh, it's just Naya being Naya. It's okay. They're like, what is going on?
Or the people who aren't brainwashed aren't willing to speak out. Like, for whatever reason, Wes has nothing to say. Like, the people who... Zach, who said she played a good... Like, those people are not willing to say anything. Except... shoot, I forgot what I was going to say. But Liz Irwin will fill in for me here. I wanted Leroy to STFU with all his Sarah whining. If it wasn't for Sarah, Leroy would be looking at third place money right now. She put cash in his pocket and he's still a little B to her.
That's actually a very fair point. I don't know. That's a great point. That Leroy would have probably would have finished third with Naya if Bananas and Nani were in the final. It's a great point.
Cindy Bolin, following up on something you said in a previous podcast, does Bananas have any fault in egging Naya on that led to her sexual harassment of Jordan? And then she gets into an Evan and Kenny thing, which I can't get into right now.
I think that's a little bit of a stretch. I think to put any of the blame on Bananas is unfairly taking it away from Naya in my eyes.
I totally disagree. I think that every single person, it's just like when we talked about the Zach thing where like the three other dudes are in the room. I think it was Leroy in bed, but I still can't tell from just a few.
I still don't see anyone in the bed when they show that clip.
Really? It's so clear. The feet are sticking out right by like Johnny's head in the bed, like closest, the side of the bed closest to Johnny's head on the right side. Okay. Anyway, and they were moving. Like, it's not like I'm just confusing a pillow. Like, the feet move. What I said in there is, like, the only thing for the triumph of evil, right, is for good people to do nothing. And there were three men in the room with Zach who should have, instead of agreed with him, should have said something. This is actually disgusting and I'm going to leave now or something, whatever. And that's exactly what's happening here is there were... What, six other people in the room with six people with Sarah and Jordan, four other people not involved with the Naya and Leroy. Let me start again. Leroy, Nani, Bananas, Jenna, and Jay all had an opportunity to see what was going on and say, this has gone too far now, stop. And had any one of them spoken out against the crowd that was egging on Naya and Naya was loving it from the audience, she may have stopped, or at least it would have been on TV, somebody taking a stand against a disgusting, abusing bully. And it got that far because, again, Naya, I'm not taking any blame away from Naya. Naya is a bad person. I'm willing to say it. She's a bad person. But she does this stuff for the audience. And she would go back in and lay down and say, tell me to keep going. And Bananas was like, keep going, keep going. And then she'd go back out and continue to abuse them. Like, as sensible adults in that situation, they had a responsibility to speak out against it in that situation and stop it. And the fact that they're continuing to do it is disgusting. So he should definitely get blamed for all of them who were there and didn't do anything should get blamed for letting it happen.
I think you convinced me. I think that's fair. I do think that if anyone said anything, I don't think it would have stopped Naya. Because I think the only person she would listen to is Leroy in that situation. And even he tried to kind of calm her down, and she wasn't going to listen to him. So if she wasn't going to listen to Leroy in that spot, I agreed to, at the very least, to save face, maybe saying something would have been good for someone, but I don't think it would have stopped Naya from doing whatever she was doing.
When people are violent, Like, people have stopped CT from smashing someone's face in. People have stopped.
Well, they stopped Camilla from throwing a chair. They, like, basically tased him to the ground. That's how they stopped
him. But that's what I'm saying. But it wasn't even like, okay, if every single person in that room said, Naya, you're being ridiculous and this is disgusting abusive behavior, if she continued, I mean, I just think it's a lot easier to get carried away when you have five people or at least two people. Leroy even was a part of it. He did try to stop it at first, and then he was just a part of the room who was like, not Nani and Bananas giggling and cheering her on and saying this was amazing. And if every single person took a stand and sat against Sarah and said, this is too much, this is too far, and then at some point held her back, like, I'm not even kidding, like, it's, you should treat it like it's physical violence. And they would have, they've been able to stop Beast, who are fueled with rage and alcohol, from killing people. They can stop Naya from this.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it, you know, don't incur, even if it didn't stop her, it would have at least been an attempt. But the fact, so sorry, Cindy continues. He keeps coming back because he isn't the one. She claims that he probably had a hand in encouraging Evan and Kenny, allegedly, with Tanya. But anyway, he keeps coming back because he isn't the one actually doing the assault or harassment, but he is adding to the environment that allows the behavior to happen. And I don't think we can start having MTV pull anyone from the show who allows bad behavior to happen.
That, I mean, yeah, that we would have no cast left, but I mean, he's definitely an instigator. Like, there's no doubt Bananas is an instigator. And part of it is for A, his own entertainment, and B, to try to create good television. I mean, you just can't start pulling people for instigating stuff.
Yes. This is moving on from that. Sorry, because my throat hurts from ranting so much. I apologize. This is the number one time when Zuri pissed me off. Zuri addresses Naya after all of this, the clip package.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, I was about to go there too. So I think we're on the same page.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say the worst part of this entire reunion was when she asked everyone, does Naya still deserve money?
Oh, no, right before that.
Okay.
Right before that, Naya, you're good TV, but is it all for just for the cameras? Are you kidding me? At the, like, end of talking about sexually harassing someone and verbally abusing them, you're going to condone it by saying, Naya, you're good TV, but are you just harassing people for the cameras? I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, you're calling someone who got kicked, you're talking about the moment that got someone kicked off the show and saying that they're good TV. Like, yes or no, she's good TV, but you, like, as the voice of MTV on this reunion, should not be calling what gets someone removed from Norway right before a final good TV.
And here's the thing with the challenge, we all love when people get drunk and do stupid stuff. Like, the Nani Camilla fight is, like, the perfect example. Like, that's good, fun television of just drunk people acting completely stupid, and the next day they can pass things up and be fine. Like, that's fun, entertaining television for a brief time. What Naya does, I don't think it's good television. If anything, it's very uncomfortable television. The fact that you're watching someone do these things and say these things, and you're thinking to yourself, is this even a show I should be watching, honestly? That it just makes you feel so uncomfortable at the moment that you're like, just please let this be over. Just end this scene. Just move on. Please end this. That's not good television in my eyes. So I completely disagree that this night is good television.
I completely agree with everything you just said, where, like, I, after watching Mr. Union, I was evaluating, like, wow, I have a little bit of fringe, like, so fringe part in supporting the show, and I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, perfectly way to say it, yeah. This is not the challenge that I enjoyed watching. Like, there's always, like, even fighting and stuff like that, but this is, like, even worse than CT trying to, like, kill Adam in, like, the duel. Because I don't think it ever would have gotten to the point where he would have killed him, but that's, like, something you see kind of, like, more often than something like this, where this was just, like, it really just makes you, like, squirm in your seat, and it's, like, just get this off my television, where at least, like, someone trying to fight someone is just something more commonplace.
I'd also rather watch someone doing things for the cameras, like Bananas is manipulative for the cameras, like, yeah, he starts little dramas here and there, but Naya, you're really seeing someone who's probably got mental issues, like, has so much insecurity or so much, like, all of this built up that this is how she deals with it, and it's like watching Brandon Hanson Survivor. Like, it's sad. It's not good TV anymore. Yeah. When that person has to live their life, like, how does Naya live her life? I don't know.
Yeah, and then Zuri Hall poses that question. You know, you've done so well this season. Don't you think Nia deserves some money? And I love everyone. It seemed like everyone was saying yes, and I applaud Sarah for saying you don't get to sexually assault someone and still get money. And bravo, Sarah, for being like basically the only sane person out there.
How could anyone say yes to this? And yeah, Zuri says it. She's not like, oh, do you think you deserve money, Nia? Like, there's a way to say this without sounding like you're drumming up excitement, like you're trying to drum up a yes. And she does sound like, I thought MTV was going to come out with a check for 10 grand for her.
I was so worried. They're like, oh, Nia, for all you're here's $10,000. Yeah, I was so worried they were about to do that. Completely agree. And I think after Sarah said that, Nia, this like the mark of like a true, like mentally disturbed person kind of like laughs and goes, oh, we move past that, sweetie. Move past that. She's the absolute worst person.
Yeah, you don't get to decide what we've moved past, Nia. Like, yeah. You should always apologize at every time for that.
Honestly, we should never move past that. That should be, like, on Naya's resume forever.
We have a ton of questions about that, but I didn't order them right, so we'll get into that later. You want to talk about Zach's package?
I don't want to talk about Zach's package. We can talk about Zach's clip show, though.
The package about Zach?
Speaking of the worst person ever... I almost kind of like forgot, not like forgot, but like it was a crazy reminder about how mean Zach was to Jonna this season.
Yeah, I was actually, I think they made up for the rest of the clips, in my opinion, by really, I mean, they showed every single moment back to back to back to back when Zach looked like a jerk.
And he was a complete, utter asshole.
Nicole Rogerson, I hate how the hosts seem to really want to excuse Zach and downplay his comments. He is a horrible human being. Fact. And I totally agree. Zuri opens with, we know you're a good guy, so why did you give John A. a hard time? The one thing we do not know is that Zach is a good guy. We know so much about him. They've seen him naked. We know, you know, where he lives, how athletic he is, his hobbies. We do not know that he is a good guy.
You know, Zach's been on like the MTV spectrum for like 3 or 4 seasons, including his Real World. Half that time, he's either been completely abusive to women or completely ridiculing and mocking homosexuality. So to say he's a good guy is a very far stretch. So I don't know how that's the opening line to this discussion.
What do you think about Nani interjecting herself in this piece?
I think it's just that Nani and Jonna had that bond from when they were pairing in either Rivals 1 or Rivals 2, and I think they're pretty decent friends, so if one of my friends was being completely mentally destroyed by someone, I would want to come to the defense of them. So I had no problem with Nani trying to stick up for Jonna, who clearly, in this type of environment, doesn't really know how or is comfortable defending herself.
I mean, she started off doing an okay job where she was like, we just don't go together, which is fair. And then she said, like, it wasn't fair for Zach to treat me the way he did as a partner, because Zach's basically starting out saying like, oh, we haven't spoken for a while, so like, of course we're not going to be great partners. And it's like, well, there's people not speaking for a while, and then there's people berating their partners. And then that moves him into being able to say like, okay, I was an asshole, but it was a rough couple of months for Zach.
And even like when he started apologizing, he was like, oh yeah, I'm sorry for what I said in certain situations. Yeah. It's like, no, Zach, you should be sorry for what you said in basically every situation.
And then he immediately throws it to like, oh, but there was a whole lot going on. Like, basically, you didn't see a lot of it, because he claims that as soon as he started showing interest in Jenna, Jonna started looking at him the wrong way and saying things to Jenna so that Jenna wouldn't want to talk to him.
It seemed like that was either completely not true or a gross overstatement, because Jonna immediately denied it, and there was no cut to Jenna's saying, confirming whatever Zach claimed that she was doing. So my guess is maybe Jonna made like 1 or 2 comments, but that was basically it.
Also, that's Jenna's choice. If your ex wants to say something to you, to your new girlfriend, it's her choice whether or not she wants to deal with it. Like, it's not Jonna's fault. That would be Jenna. If Jenna didn't want to talk to you, then that's on Jenna, and that's probably a good decision.
And maybe Jonna is just warning Jenna about how awful you are. So,
and then Nia raises, after every challenge, you would say that she was the reason you lost, and Zach ironically tells her that she's beating a dead horse. Again, he gets to decide when something needs to be moved on from.
Did you get the sense, because this, either Zach was just insanely nervous for this segment, or he seemed absolutely plastered.
Because he seemed like he was slurring his words. He couldn't really form full sentences. Did you think Zach was like completely in a normal mental state?
It's probably both. He was probably really nervous to get, you know, his due. He's totally avoided Twitter. He's totally, I mean, a little bit more now, but throughout the season, he basically disappeared as soon as he started getting any hate. And then he probably also was wasted. It was probably a combo. No one will ever be as wasted as Kelly Ann on the Island reunion. Oh my God.
That was great. That's cool. And then I loved, we talked about what Zach's defense would be for his whole Swamp Donkey talk. I mean, we hoped and prayed that Zach would not go to the whole, those weren't even like the regular cameras, those are surveillance cameras. And sure enough, yeah, he said.
Did we say that?
I think we said we hoped that he wouldn't use that as an excuse, but I mean, you tried to use that as an excuse.
Yeah, Kristen Knarr says, did Zach really think it was a surveillance camera, not a regular camera, would help his case? Because I'm pretty sure that makes it even worse.
Yeah, I completely agree. It makes it worse because it's thinking that you're not being filmed so you can say what you really feel. And this is apparently how Zach really feels.
I think Zuri, I was actually happy that she brought up that Zach said that he would stand by it. Zach's last sentence in the Swamp Donkey thing was, and I'll stand by this. Mm-hmm. And then she says, do you? And
I did enjoy when he was starting to talk. I thought this was funny. Bananas just immediately cuts him and says, be careful, dude. I got a chuckle out of that.
And I can't believe that he says what I was trying to say was that males are better athletes than our female partners. And it was coming off in a frustrating and ignorant way. And Zuri just says, okay, why didn't anyone bring up Laurel?
Yes, I was praying. Because MTV loves to do that, where they like have someone say something and then they'll quickly pop something in like post-production, like they did with the Jay and Jenna Twitter stuff, when they said, oh, everyone's gonna give us hate on Twitter. Why didn't after that they have a quick shot of Zach crying and Laurel berating him to get up? Like, that would have been perfect timing for that. And they I don't know why they didn't go there.
The only excuse I can make for Zuri or MTV in general not really taking these people to task is if MTV was like, look, we want to have these people back, so don't completely hate on them. Sarah, they know, is leaving. So if they hold all of these people responsible for being the complete asshole jerks that they were, then how do they justify bringing them back next season?
I guess so. That's probably,
I don't think that's right, but
yeah. No, I mean, it's definitely not right, but it's probably what they're thinking, unfortunately.
What should Zach have said in this spot to defend himself?
I was absolutely horrible. This is so not acceptable behavior. I completely apologize. I will do whatever I can to try to make things up to Jenna because I was a complete asshole. And I deeply apologize.
There you go.
That's what he needs. And say that many, many times over.
Jillian Nicole, I was very disappointed in both Jenna and Zach during the reunion. Did you guys feel the same way? I felt like Zach did not give a sincere apology and Jenna seemed to give excuses for Zach's behavior.
I mean, I was definitely disappointed that Zach didn't try to apologize more. I mean, for Jonna, this was what I expected from her, though. Because she's, as we saw on the show, she's not good at confrontation and calling people out. Especially with Zach, that she's just not comfortable doing that. And this was a little more than I even expected from her. So, I wasn't really disappointed with her.
Can we jump ahead just to the last thing she said about it at the end of the show?
Can you explain what she said? Because I wrote down, Jenna tried to clarify something, but I have no idea what she said.
So basically, Zuri asked, like, does anyone have anything else to say? And Jenna was like, I want to say something. She said, I'm bad at communicating, and in a game, it would be frustrating to have to deal with that. And I'm not going to say you're not an asshole, but... So basically, she was taking blame for why Zach was horrible to her.
Oh, so you know what? I am disappointed. Yeah. I literally wrote down, Zach says something to Zach. Jonna says something to Zach, but I have no idea what. Because she said so many knots that I couldn't keep track of all the negatives.
Yeah, no, she basically took responsibility for why Zach...
So bad job, Jonna.
And then... I need to know what you think about... Do you think that Jay and Jonna's hookup was even a little bit not revenge?
Oh, it was 1,000% revenge. I think Jay wants to try to think that Jonna was into him. And you know what? Maybe after spending time with him, maybe Jonna liked him a little bit, but there was a 0.0% chance this was going to continue once they left the house.
I don't think Jay's the kind of guy that grows on you. I think this, as soon as she got to know him better, it probably was more and more about revenge.
Maybe that's true.
And then we find Jenna, though, does talk about her boyfriend who is on Dating Me.
Yes, Dating Me. Ah, that seemed like a real keeper.
The main breakdown between Jay and Jenna is, like, Jay calls her out. Like, she says, like, I cheated on her, but Jay had a boyfriend the whole time. Jenna had a boyfriend the whole time she was cuddling and kissing Zach, which maybe explains why nothing too much happened with Jenna and Zach. Like, it was, like, a pecker here and there and, like, awkward cuddling, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, so Jenna explains, we had questions about this, like, early on in the season, so Jenna now can answer them. That the person she was seeing at home went on another reality show and had sex with someone on the show. And so they had like an arrangement, like I could come here and do what I wanted to do, which is, I think, what we speculated, that maybe they're both like trying to be actors and said, like, yeah, do whatever you have to do. And then she, on top of that cheating on Dating Naked, she found out that he was just in general cheating on her. And Jay is like, that's called cheating. And it's like, okay, so what if she says, like, yeah, I cheated on my boyfriend? Like, it's not going to make you square, and then she's going to fall in love with you. Like, I don't know if Jay thinks, like, if she says, yeah, I cheated too, that then they can be together.
I don't know what Jay thinks with that. Yeah, even in this segment, he tries to come off like the tough guy or whatever, but Jay has no business being there.
And then Jillian Nicole wants to know what the reaction is to the fact that Jenna and Zach are still seeing each other, even though Zach is terrible to women.
I don't know how Jenna could, after watching that season, be like, oh, that's the guy for me. But to each their own, I guess. I don't understand it.
So I hate when a girl is like, oh, that was other girls, I'm different. Like, he treated Jenna like shit. He treated women in general like shit. But no, like, I'll be different. I'm special. He's going to treat you like shit, too. You are now his fourth reality show, real world, or the challenge relationship, is that correct?
Yeah, Ashley from his season. I think there was another Ashley, and then John A, and yeah, now her.
And it's like, he leaves every show with a girlfriend, and then he treats them all like crap. I mean, I guess Ashley, who spoke out on the radio about him, they had a fine relationship, and it ended fine, but still, like, I don't know why you think this is going to work out, especially when they're not even willing to, like, say anything. Like, Jenna's like, oh, we're talking every day, we support each other, we're there for each other. And then they're like, Zach, where do you stand? And he goes, she has a nice butt. Right there. Are you kidding me? If you're not willing to speak out and say, like, I really like her, we are hanging out, like, you're not even willing to give her that, you're just gonna say she's hot.
I mean, to be fair, what is he gonna say? Oh, Jenna's really smart, she challenged me intellectually.
So you know, I like the girl. Where do you stand? I like her. Not, let's draw her butt in the air. I mean, that was so disgusting.
I mean, we can't expect anything different from Zach. That's the guy he is.
You're excusing his behavior, no, John A. Okay, John A.
I'm saying he's just the worst, so expect the worst, and don't be surprised when you get the worst.
Right, but the question is, like, Jenna is seeing this and is, like, you know, she should be looking for a little bit more of a substantial answer from someone that she's willing to say that she's dating.
She should, but apparently that doesn't matter to her.
All right. Let's move on to the final.
the fun layup segment. The best part about all this was the fact that Jay is wearing the Dream Big shirt throughout this whole thing. The irony was just oozing out of it.
What did you make of Jenna, who's like, well, there's so much money on the line, you just, like, throw down anything. Like, she was getting painted here. Well, I'll just ask the question. Judah Ray on Mario says, I don't get all of the Jay hate. Sure, he couldn't drink the fish stuff, but Jenna wasn't giving a great effort to drink it either, and she wanted to quit while they were supposed to be jogging.
I completely agree. I agree that you can hate on Jay all you want, but the fact that Jenna's getting this weird pass, and not even a pass, but getting compliments, is the most bizarre thing ever. Because like we said, Jenna was coming across so much worse than Jay in this final. She was ready to quit basically the second they stepped out of the kayaks. I really doubt she was willing to drink that stuff. I think that was all for show, that she was absolutely thrilled that Jay was willing to quit. And that's why she didn't put up much of a fight, that she did not quit also. So yeah, I have no idea where all of a sudden all the, like, the Jenna praising is coming from.
She didn't even motivate him to continue. She was like, what, do you want to finish or do you want to quit? Like, are you gonna drink it? Like, she wasn't even like, come on, it's 15 grand. Like, she didn't even really care that he quit. She wasn't upset at all.
No, and don't give me the crap about, oh, it's so much money on the line. You, the 20 minutes earlier were saying, oh, the money's nothing. Go play a scratch off. I just want to get out of here. Obviously, the money did not matter that much to you then. So that it's, I have, that was the one of the more bizarre parts of the reunion also, that all of a sudden Jenna is being lauded. It was very confusing.
And she tweeted like, yeah, I was complaining, but I was never going to quit. Like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's easy to say now. Like, I would have loved to see you continue. I'm almost upset.
But here's the thing. She did quit. Like, yes, Jay offered to quit, but she could have easily said, no, we're not quitting. You're drinking that. She didn't, was not pushing him to stay in that game. So don't even give me the whole, oh, I wouldn't have quit. You did quit. You quit.
And then she tweeted a picture of her and Zach looking like a huge douche, like giving a middle finger. And she wrote, yeah, I'd rather have the 15K laughing smiley face. Like, you clearly, if you're willing to have Zach over 15K, you don't value money at all.
Or, yeah.
Zach's worth about 15 cents.
You don't value anything.
Okay, I'm just looking at what else was said really here. I mean, yeah, Bananas. Okay, so Jay starts saying, like, I had no control. Like, it was just coming up, drinking it. And Bananas said, like, Jay has this, like, tough guy act about it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even care. Like, I don't even care. And that was a bad impression, but that's how I hear him in my head. Like, I don't even care. And this stupid tongue ring. Ugh.
I wrote that down. Was that a tongue ring? Or I couldn't tell if that was a tongue ring or he just had, like, gum in his mouth.
Oh, no. He's had that, like, lime green tongue ring since The Real World.
Oh, my God. I don't think I noticed that until then. It is awful.
You didn't notice when he was, like, vomiting? He, like, that was, like, the best shot we got of it.
I never noticed it until he was talking. I thought it was just gum in his mouth.
But so Banana says that Jay was in over his head and, like, if you're going to quit on something like that, you don't belong in the final. If the game would have turned on you at any point, you would have gone home. And then he starts saying, whatever you want to go heads up, let me know.
Can I set it up and can I arrange it and can I watch, please? 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 Oh my God, that would be hysterical.
And then eventually they get Jay starting to be like, okay, like I did get lucky. Like basically Zach and Bananas go in on them and be like, when Jenna would come to me and be like, are we going in? And I would say no. She'd be like, oh my God, we're so lucky. And Jay acted like he did so much work to get to the final. I do kind of agree with them on that Jay acted like he deserved to be there.
Yeah. And this is like, I know a lot of people say like, oh, why, like Johnny Riley got to the finals last year with like luck. Why does he get a pass as opposed to Jay? And this is the biggest difference. Johnny was making a joke of how lucky he was throughout the season last year. He was going, oh, it's the luck of the Irish. I can't believe this is amazing that I'm avoiding all these eliminations. Jay is trying to think that he worked really hard. And that is the biggest difference in my eyes about why Jay is getting mocked for this and Johnny Riley was getting a pass. As also how they did in the final too, but that's also a big part of it.
And then Naya comes out swinging. There are certain people who do one challenge, you never see them again because they're not cut out for the show. And then she says, you, my friend, are not one of those people, which is a very nice compliment to Jay to say that he's not one of those people because she's an idiot. And she meant to say, you are one of those people. Not that I've never misspoke, but, and you wasted money that someone else could have had. But you didn't, Naya? Like, you're so lucky that they decided to bring Teresa back for Leroy. Otherwise, Leroy would have gotten screwed.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Naya, you did your first season, you were out very early, so if you weren't a psychopath on your Real World season, you probably would not be brought back for this season, so even though you did very well in your eliminations, you're not Mr. Challenge Superstar either, so calm your brakes a little bit, so.
Judah Ray Amario wants to know, with all the hate going his way, will Jay do another challenge? Not, like, whether or not he'll be invited back, but would he do it?
Absolutely, he will. 100%.
Yeah, and I can't wait to watch him go out first.
Yeah.
Because I don't see anyone being willing to carry him to the end again after the way he acted. Like, I feel like they put him right into an elimination just to shut him up.
Oh, he'll be 100% the first person voted in the next time in anything he does.
Which is kind of crazy because, oh, who tweeted? Cara Maria tweeted, like, note to self, make sure Jay and Jenna are in every final. I'm ever in again. I forget what it was. It was really funny.
Good job by her.
I had it somewhere. Sorry, everyone. But basically, she tweeted, like, notes on the challenge, bring Jenna and Jay every time to the final.
And here's another myth thought of Naya misspoking. She said that Jay's a one-hit wonder, and I think that's a compliment because that's saying that he had a hit. I don't think this would be considered a hit for Jay.
What do you think of Wes's attitude here? Wes gets like a very small segment, mm-hmm. but I think he has a good showing.
I think Wes came across very, very well, and the way that bananas should be coming across. That, like, you know, you've done so many of these, you've won some, you lose some, you can brush things off. So it's like, oh, everything went against me. This whole Exile Twist went against me. Everyone got a second chance. Even Teresa got one. And it's like, yeah, you can laugh about it. You know what? Wes, of everyone, Wes got screwed the most in this whole thing. And he's able to, like, just laugh about it and be like, oh, this sucks. But what can you do? It's a game show. I can move on with my life.
I think that's a product of him actually having a real life outside of the show.
Honestly, that's part of it with his 50 companies, monster trucks, and all that stuff.
No, I love how he's like, he keeps calling a layup. Like, he did a really bad job of explaining what a layup was, so Bananas had to intervene and say, it's the easiest shot in basketball. You make it every time.
Yeah, Zuri, like, asked, what's a layup? And he went through all of his analogies with the insurance policy. And I think Zuri Hall was literally asking him, what does the term layup mean? And Bananas had to interject.
But I do like that he brought back the insurance reference when he was like, I paid all of this money on the insurance and she crashed the car.
Yeah, Wes, I think the two people in my mind who came across the best in the reunion were Sarah and were Wes.
Well, I'll wait to tell you how I feel when we get to the question, the listener question.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know who came across the best.
No, that's fine. What was I going to say? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, I love how Leroy got to say, like, I felt embarrassed when I saw the clip back of the Wes and Leroy interaction.
But, and then here's the thing. Why wasn't there ever a question to Bananas? You know, oh, you get on Sarah for being such good friends and you were pissed that she threw you under the bus. Why are you able to throw Leroy under the bus? Where is that question being asked to him?
I just think MTV wants to protect Bananas' reputation as much as they possibly can so that when they bring him back, they can rebuild his, like, Johnny Bananas legacy where he's the good guy and Wes is the bad guy. Yes. Now Bananas is the bad guy. What are they going to do about that? They have no good guy.
Yeah.
Christian Kinnar wants to know, is Wes finally growing up? He was given a raw deal on this season but was able to make jokes about it and move on, unlike others with less to complain about Bananas, Nani, and Naya.
Yeah, I think a part of it, what you said, is true, that he does stuff outside the show to not only keep himself busy, but also to earn a living. So I think that's part of it. And yeah, I mean, Wes, he's got to be, what, 30, 32 years old. He's been around the block a lot of times. He's able to laugh things off, which is where I thought Bananas would be able to, like, respect the move. That's the most confusing part about the whole stuff with the Bananas, Sarah, is that I thought after all these seasons Bananas has done that he'd be able to respect the move as opposed to being so butthurt about it. And I like that Wes is able, and it's something that has never happened before, and if anyone had any reason to be completely bitter, it would be Wes, and he's able to just laugh it off.
Speaking of things to be bitter about, Tim Lemaster wants to know, were they right or wrong to give the MVP award to Jenna?
No. No, not at all.
It's again
more so when we were discussing the layup about why all of a sudden Jenna's being praised. I don't know why she's the MVP for what? Just showing up? That's what gets you MVP? She's like, anything Jenna was asked of, she did. What does that even mean? How is that a compliment? That's like your duty of being on the show.
Yeah, that was just the ultimate example of sour grapes. Like, Bananas was the first to speak, I think, throughout Jenna so that he didn't have to have, like, have anyone say a guy that wasn't him or, God forbid, Sarah.
Yeah.
And it's like, then his explanation, again, yeah, it was not the question. It was not who shocked you by being okay. Like, he was like, no one expected her to be okay. So she's the MVP. So Renizi Baby, Bebe, says, address the reunion podcast. Had they named Jenna the MVP? I personally think it was Leroy. Others are saying Western or Sarah. Who do you think?
I would say it's got to be Sarah. I mean, if you want to do a male MVP and a female MVP, I would say Sarah and Leroy would be my two.
I think if you win, you're the MVP. I would probably say Sarah and Jordan just because they won, but probably Wes and Sarah.
What'd you think of Jordan really not having any segment a part of this entire reunion, as opposed only really just defending Sarah's move? But don't you think something has to be said for Jordan doing as well as he's doing and being as good as he? I was waiting for that segment of Jordan's great athleticism, and it just never really came up.
I mean, what would they really show? Like, I don't think he did anything so much better than Wes or Leroy in, like, when he went up against Bananas in the dome. Like, I don't know that he was this, like, standout athlete. Like, yes, because he doesn't have a hand, but I think that package is over. Like, what are they going to say? Like, oh, because of your handicap, Jordan, look how good you do. Like, I don't think that that has a place anymore on the show.
That's fair. I just thought for a winner that he really was not part of the reunion, really at all, other than just defending Sarah.
I don't think he was a part of the show, really. I don't think he, I mean, he made an effort to come and just put up and shut up. Like, he said, apparently he told Sarah in the beginning, like, I'm just going to be your workhorse. Mm-hmm. And aside from, like, little scuffles here and there, he really stayed out of it. He wasn't fighting Bananas. He was working with him. Like, there was nothing really mm-hmm. interesting, I don't think, to talk about from him.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it is, like, it's like on Survivor when they go to, like, the main characters and the winner only gets the check.
Yeah. That's true. I did enjoy when, going back to that Jay segment, when it's amazing to think about where we are compared to a year ago, that Bananas and Jordan were joking about that Jay never earned his stripes. It is amazing that those two are now either friends or friendly enough to, like, joke about that type of stuff.
I'll be really, really interested to see next season.
I agree. Without Sarah, to see if they actually are buddy-buddy or if they're back to being going against each other.
My prediction is that they're not buddy-buddy, but they're depending on where the chips fall. I mean, Bananas needs more people. Mm-hmm. Like, he totally needs more people. And I don't think, on principle, he's willing to work with rookies like Wes is. So I think he needs Jordan. I don't see them being each other's, like, number one, but I definitely don't see them gunning for each other.
Yeah, I would say Bananas needs Jordan more than Jordan needs Bananas, just from pure numbers segment at this point.
Yeah, definitely. What did you think about the DM and Knight tribute?
It kind of came unexpected. I kind of almost forgot throughout this entire reunion. I wonder if they're going to do something on Knight and DM. I don't know what that says, but I just wasn't really thinking about what they were going to do. But, I mean, I don't really know what you can do that would be enough. Like, do you want to do so much that it takes away from the show? Do you want to do too little that it feels rushed? I thought it was okay. The only thing I didn't like was, I don't really know why Naya is talking, especially when the segment of DM came up. I mean, she very briefly knew DM. If anything, the only person who should be talking there would probably be, like, someone like Bananas or even Sarah, who may have known DM for an extended period of time. So that's the only thing that I just questioned.
It wasn't even that Naya was talking. It's that Naya immediately made it about her. Naya yeah. was like, when I heard that DM died, I immediately thought, wow, life is short. Like, it made us realize life is short. So I hit up Jordan on Twitter. Like, it is so not about you. And the fact that DM's one tribute on this reunion, not that I really think, like, her life needs a stupid MTV little reunion tribute. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, oh my God, she was only going to be remembered for this 2 seconds on the reunion of a show that people are mad about happening. Anyway, it was just so disgusting that she was like, oh, my reaction to it was this. I thought what Zach said about Knight was beautiful, like talking about how he felt about the challenge and how the challenge house was great for him and how his funeral was packed. And then he was just like, and you can't say enough good things about Diem. But I think Diem really got shortchanged with Naya making it about her. If Naya had said Diem was a beautiful spirit, she was amazing, we totally missed her, this whole season was devastating without her, whatever, then fine, maybe Naya shouldn't be talking, but at least she said something nice. To make it about her was, like, so, oh, like, I never want to see Naya again. Like, I might have to rethink if I'm going to watch a challenge if she's on it next season. That was so frustrating.
Were you expecting there to be some type of clip of CT or Jemmy saying anything about Knight or DM?
So Tia Tanchon said, how disappointing was it not to hear from CT? I presume it's his own choice, but no after show, no reunion, nothing from him, not even a we've been in touch with CT, and he thanks all of his fans for support during this time, etc. from MTV. Love that Jimmy came to the after show and talked about her and Knight. The other members also did in context of the show.
Mm-hmm. I would bet, I'm sure MTV asked CT about if he wanted to do anything, and I'm sure he just didn't want to say anything. But I thought it would have been a nice touch for Zuri to say, yeah, like, we talked to CT and he's thanks everyone for his thoughts or whatever. But I mean, yeah, I wasn't surprised that CT wasn't there. I think he's just going to be done with the show pretty much forever.
I was happy that they didn't do, like, and CT says hi moment, because CT doesn't owe us anything. Like, see, like, they don't, Jemmy, if she wants to, I feel like that helped Jemmy's grief, like, to go in and talk about Knight and do a tribute, and that was meaningful for her. And so we benefit from that because we get to see their beautiful feelings towards it. You know what I mean? Like, right. Great. But I thought it would have been a really junky move for CT to decline to comment and then MTV to be like, we know CT and he says thanks and you guys are the best and we love the challenge. Like, mm-hmm. I just thought that cheapens it. If CT doesn't need it for his own grieving, then leave him alone. And so I was actually proud of MTV for not trying to pass along like a cheap, like CT still thinks of us. Like, I just think like if leave him alone. He wrote like an Instagram post after she died and was like, you know, and now I'm going to take my space. Like, thank you. Everything was amazing. Not to the challenge, but like to the community. Right. And then he disappeared into the night. And I think he wants to do his own thing. Then that's his right. And that's his process. And I was actually impressed with MTV because I'm surprised they didn't do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Gregory Contreras says Johnny being bitter gotten old. Not even Wes was bitter about the twist.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, move on.
Johnny Langan, in a season of some pretty lame competitors with cringeworthy sound bites, who do you think came off the worst? Zach, Naya, Bananas, Jenna, etc.
Not Naya and Zach came across the worst in my eyes. And with, I mean, Bananas third, but I think there's a gap between them two and what Bananas did.
I think, unfortunately, the reunion and because of like groupthink, Sarah came off the worst. Like, all of the same people were like, Sarah's the best. Why isn't she getting her due from this reunion? But groupthink wise, like, everybody was like, we're fine. What's wrong with you? And it was horrible to watch. That's what was so insane, is that all of these people were ganging up on the one sane person. But Naya is the worst. But I think that this reunion was all about, like, let's continue to talk about why Sarah's the worst. And if we all gang up on her, the loudest person's the right person.
Yeah, it was bizarre. It was like an episode of Twilight Zone.
Alex Pandemaran, whose reputation has this season tarnished? And who's, so this is, who's came off the best? Whose reputation has this season made even better?
Starting with better, I think Wes really comes across looking fantastic. Not only because of it, as we said, that he came across looking really good in the reunion, but, I mean, he had a really good season. Everyone's on board with him having a great manipulative political season, and that's something that used to be a trademark of his that we haven't seen in a while. So he came across looking great. He did very well in the challenges and all that stuff. So even I think even more so than Sarah, I think Wes comes across looking probably the best.
Yeah, I don't think Sarah comes across looking well, even though she should. Like, us in our rational minds saw it and was like, great gameplay. But for some reason, the other cast members were able to manipulate it. I think I totally agree with you about Wes. I didn't think of that. But I also think Jordan comes off with a better reputation this season. The way he reacted to Naya calling him, you know, the F word was really impressive. And the way, I mean, he did stand by Sarah, and he was able to work with people and not just be arrogant, like have an ego attack. So I thought he came off looking pretty good, too.
Okay, I agree with that.
Kristen Kennard, despite sticking to his but we were friends reasoning for being upset with Sarah, do you think a lot of Johnny's bitterness actually comes from Jay and Jenna barely even starting the final?
I think that's probably partially it. I think it's also partially, I mean, if Johnny and Nani won that elimination and were in the final, obviously he would not be as upset at Sarah. So I think part of it is also he's upset at himself for losing. So I think there's a few factors that go into it.
I also think he's worried that if he doesn't have his, like, I almost think it's good for him that he didn't win, because if he won again this season, I feel like the audience would get fatigued with him and start being like, you know, we get it. He wins every time. Stop bringing him back. It's not interesting anymore. And now that he lost and there are people who are better than him, it's like more of a reason for him to keep getting brought back, because it's not just a determined end that he's going to win.
Right. Yeah, there's a way that Bananas could have twisted this that almost makes him like the underdog going into next season. Instead, now he comes across looking like a bitter, bitter jerk, and people may even be more out to get him next season.
Which is what he said in the beginning, like, oh, I'm coming here to prove I still have it. And I said this on our podcast with Rob, like, he doesn't need to prove he still has it. Nobody thinks he doesn't have it. And so now it's like he's actually getting the edit that he wants, is like that maybe he does need to prove he still has it.
Right.
Johnny Langan, the entire show is a mess. Zach giving the emptiest apology ever, and Naya, Johnny, and others constantly saying to Sarah and Jordan, okay, we're going to talk about the abuse again. Haven't we already gotten over that? Proving they do not understand consequence or have any guilt. My question, follow-up question to this comment is, Naya posted this really long, I'm disgusted with myself, I apologize, that's never okay, that was horrible. Does this undermine her behavior on the reunion, undermine every social media apology that she's made?
the thing with Not Apologies is I can't take any of them seriously because I think we've seen that a bunch of times from her. Like, she's done so many of these types of things where she needs to come out with these big apologies that eventually it's like, no, you don't need an apology. This is just who you are. So I can't take any of your apologies seriously anymore. This is just, she does this over and over again. So at one point, this is just her.
Tia Townshone wants to know, do you think that Teresa announced her retirement because she knew she would be paired with Nani on the next Rivals and just doesn't want to deal with that?
Possibly. That could be it. I mean, I think usually you can get a sense of what the season is before you go out, so I think she could have realized that before, but I just think she either needs a break from the show or maybe she is just done with the show.
You know, I don't think it had anything to do with being a rival with Nani, because ultimately that wouldn't be that bad of a partner.
No, it wouldn't. They would do pretty well, probably.
Mark Solera, who's more likely to hang it up after the season, Wes or Bananas?
Neither. They're both, I'd be stunned if either of them never come back. But I guess if I had to pick, I would say Wes is more likely, but I don't think either of them are.
Andrew Kirk, Brian, with you having attended reunions in the past, is there any form of decorum at these reunions? It seems like, especially the last couple challenge and real world reunions, that the cast members talk whenever they want, even if the question isn't directed towards them, which makes it annoying.
Yeah, there definitely is a lot of people just chiming in randomly. And that's why it's so tough to tell, like when you're saying about that they cut away editing and stuff like that, there is a lot of people talking over each other and a lot of producer having to say, like, wait for your guys to be talked to and stuff like that. So there is a lot of inmates running the asylum a lot of the times.
Kyle Jaleel B wants to know, do you guys think Nani is overrated as a competitor? And my answer to this is Nani rated as a competitor?
Yeah, I don't know what the perception... I don't think people think Nani's, like, one of the best people out there. I don't think people think she's one of the worst people out there. I think she's a pretty good competitor who could do decently. And I think that's pretty accurate.
I think it all depends. I mean, ever since that interview with Wes, I think it's so true. It's so, like, Nani, I think this question is only coming because in this season, Nani was one of the better girls to even be asked to be on the show or agree to be on the show.
Yeah.
So, like, is Nani overrated as a competitor? Maybe because of how she was viewed as one of the best girls on this season. But if you look at just, like, the pool of contestants, I think she's very middle of the road. Which is fine. I think her being okay, being with a great guy or an okay guy, like, she could still go far. Like, I think Naya is a very okay, middle-of-the-road competitor, too. She's definitely not top tier.
No, I mean, she's not Laurel. She's not Emily. She's not Cara Maria. So, no. I'm sure there's other people that I'm forgetting that are better, too, but I just can't think of them off the top of my head.
Zachary's Arnett Klein. I find that Wes clams up a lot of the time on these reunion shows. What do you guys think?
I think Wes is also just not a big confrontational person at this point in his challenge life. Even you see on the show, like when Bananas came back, he doesn't really start anything with it. He tries to like reconcile things and he just walks away with his tail between his legs. Like, I don't think you're going to see a blowout with Wes screaming at someone at any point coming.
I think Wes speaks when spoken to, which is what you should be doing on the reunion. Like, I think he had funny or interesting answers when he was asked questions, and then he sat back the rest of the time, or he was edited out, whatever. But I think he's an adult.
And that's as big a compliment as you can get on the show.
Molly Block came for you. And she said, would love to hear Brian try to defend Bananas after this shit show.
I don't
interrupt Molly Block.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't think I've ever disliked anyone on television more than him and Nani for that matter.
I mean, I think Di is the worst person to dislike, but again, I'm not on Bananas' side with this. I'm not. Is it coming across that I am?
I think it's just so obvious that you love him so much. That people don't even believe you.
I guess. I don't know. I'm blinded by my love, but he's 100% in the wrong. 100%. 1,000%. 1,000,000%. He's wrong.
Alex Pandemaran, what would be your thoughts on having a Rivals with mixed-gendered pairs instead of typical same-gender pairs?
No more Rivals. Please, no more Rivals. No more Rivals. No more exes. Please. Well,
I just don't think that you'd be able to stack a deck with Rivals of mixed-gender pairs that have nothing to do with them hooking up.
Yeah. I think... Like, the only things I could think of would be, like, what Bananas and Cara Maria could be one. I think that's it.
Bananas and Sarah.
but it's all bananas. Like, who? What other fights with, I guess, Nani and Frank had a big blowout one, so maybe you compare them together?
You could probably make, even with stretches, 4 or 5 pairs, but there's no way you can make a full team. Yeah. I mean, a full show.
Like, opposite sex rivals is exes. That's what it is.
Caitlyn James, is anyone else a little grossed out at MTV for having Nia on the reunion? Kind of sends a mixed message to send someone home for that and then feature them on a reunion. And we also got a question on Twitter from Lexiglass, which I need to know, is that just your first and last name or is that a riff on Plexiglass? And she said, like, basically, should someone who was kicked off be allowed on the reunion?
Honestly, that's a better question than asking if someone is kicked off still deserves money. Is should they even be here? That's a better question. I would say yes, they should be there because as much as Nia is the worst, a lot of this stuff that happened this season unfortunately did revolve around her, so you do need her there. But I think that's a much better question than does she still deserve money?
Yeah, I think to give in this case, I feel like in other cases, it would be like a point of apology, a point of coming together and, you know, I'm disgraced with my behavior. I did my time. I went home. In this case, like the fact that they let Nia run free and say, have basically be the final word on every topic. Like if you're going to bring back somebody who got sent home, then keep her in line and control her and defend yourself against her. Like as MTV, like, I just think that the way that she was allowed to be on the reunion, not only as though she was just there, but as like the star of the reunion, was not okay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I agree, like that. If, what are you going to talk about? Just like talk about Nia and she's not there.
Yeah, well, she has to be there. But
Daniel Arles Smith wants to know: Bananas seem to be on Naya's side of the arguments. Plus, Nani and Nia made up, and Leroy and Nia are still good. Is Nia playing her cards right to be in a good spot next challenge?
So I think there's going to be plenty of people who don't like Nia who are going to be against her. I still don't understand the Bananas being on her side. I guess it's just because she's agreeing with him. That's the only reason why. But yeah, I guess she's in a decent spot. I guess.
I don't even want to think about that Nia could come off of this season and abuse people and be in a good spot for the next challenge.
Again, it's disturbing that that's a possibility.
Edward Morris, who should host the reunion show? Zuri Hall, TJ, or a former challenge alumni?
TJ hosting it would be absolutely hysterical because he just wants no part of drama, so him being there would be pretty funny. But up until the reunion, I thought Zuri Hall was doing a pretty good job. Now, I don't know if she was actually not this good for the reunion or if she was edited to not look this good, but I'm fine with her doing it. I don't really want Mark Long. I don't like former challenge people hosting just because a lot of they're friends with people, they have grudges to other people, so I don't know how that would go. I'm fine with Zuri still doing it, though.
Also, some of them who aren't, like, real journalists or have any hosting experience, like when Camilla or Johanna, these are just even Kenny, when they like do like specials, they're always like so robotic reading the, so like they don't come across well. Like someone wrote like Devin or Camilla, like Camilla like doesn't do a good job on the shows where she's like scripted and has to act.
I could see Devin doing decently, but I'm fine with Zuri continuing.
I think Zuri in like 5 years, I wish we could like flash forward to when she's like had experience. Like, I'm sure this was a really overwhelming experience for someone to control all of these like really, really opinionated, outspoken, crazy, drunk people.
Right.
Eric, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but Eric Jacinto wants to know, when will the next season be?
I don't know when. I know supposedly calls are going out now. Now, I don't know if that's like the final round calls or like the initial just are you available during this time frame call. So if I had to guess, I would say it's not going to be filmed until March. I would say it's filmed maybe the June, July area, and it's probably not going to air until September.
I can find out when it's being filmed, but I didn't ask that. I know that I think the question was more, will there be one in the fall or is this the new spot for the challenge? Will it not be again for a year?
I mean, I think it also depends on what they're doing with Real World, because normally what they like to do is have them airing separately. So if they want to do, I don't know, we still don't know if the Real World is coming back. So if they want to do a Real World and then the challenge, then yeah, the challenge probably won't be on until 2016. But if the Real World's still in flux, then I can see the challenge airing in like the September, October range. Also, if they, I don't know if they want to air it up against Are You the One? I think that's supposed to start filming relatively soon also. So who knows what MTV wants to do.
Yeah, they know, they anyway, never mind. Kristen Kinnar wants to know, are all reunions stupidly repetitive, or was this one particularly bad? Zach's a douche, Bananas is mad at Sarah, Nani and Teresa hate each other, we get it, Yawnfest.
I think this was a weird season in the fact that a lot of the storylines, yeah, those were really just like the major storylines, and we hit on those with on the after shows, and there weren't that many like unresolved things to discuss. So this was kind of like a weirder season with that in that regard.
Yeah, I think it's just a reflection of the season in general too. Like every episode was kind of a yawn fest, except for the challenge broken up by really good challenges.
Right.
Alex Panamaran.
Before you said that, I thought this was actually the best season for MTV with as a, not the final notwithstanding, which unfortunately because that's like the most important part, but with the challenges and eliminations, I thought this was one of the best ones they've had in a while.
I think the eliminations were really good, minus the Eat the Plantains one.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the challenges were really similar. They literally had two of the same challenges. But in general, it felt better. Like, it felt good. I mean, yeah. If we really break it down, there are a lot of holes, but I think it felt like there were really good challenges.
I thought there was a decent mix of, like, insanely competitive stuff, like scaling a 40-story building and, you know, like, stupid stuff like they did in the early going. So I thought that they had a really good season in that regard.
Alex Panamaran, if rumors are true that production did not like free agents as much, is this a sign that we are unlikely to see new formats for the challenge?
That could be partially it. That's a possibility. I still think I'm feeling more and more confident that it'll be a battle of seasons next season, which I'm not happy about, but I think that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's a reflection that there will never be a new format, because Battle of the Seasons is a relatively new format. Is that true?
I think so. I don't know if they did one much earlier in the days, but
no, because it wasn't Battle of the Seasons 2.
Right, it was just Battle of the Seasons. So, I would like to see the kill card back, though. I thought that was a really fun thing for free agents. So I hope that if they don't do a free agents 2, I hope they somehow can incorporate the kill card back in it.
I could see why it wasn't liked by production because it's randomized. And maybe they like, you know, I mean, I guess it's randomized when someone just like loses in the challenge. I don't know. I don't know what they didn't like about it. I didn't get it. It was one of my favorite seasons.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, we have a couple of tweets. Do you have any news while I pull up these tweets? I'm also trying to eat Twix right now while I'm podcasting. It's such a bad idea. I'm so sorry. It's so gross to hear, I'm sure.
Here's the production. So, weren't you eating a Twix before we aired?
Mini Twix. My friend sent me a bag of mini Twix.
Oh, okay.
Don't judge me. If I want to eat two full judging. Twix bars, I'm allowed to eat full two, but I'm not. I mean,
hey, more production stuff. I totally forgot the name of the season when we're doing the open, so you can rag on me too. I have no news, though.
So there was like a little bit of a fight between Ellie from Are You the One and Jenna. Apparently, I missed the tweet though, because Ellie rapidly deleted it. But apparently she probably tweeted something like, I could do so much better than this bitch. Like, whatever. Not
a beach.
I said bish because I wanted to stop cursing on the podcast. Okay. So Jenna tweets, to all the Are You the One kids out there talking shit, your little challenges were nothing compared to the shit we did. So please sit down. Peace, son. And then Nani tweeted, don't waste your time on lames. Peace, son. Kiss. And Jenna tweeted at Nani, peace, son. Kiss. Exactly. And then Zach wrote, you guys need to relax. I love that show. And Jenna wrote, LMAO, yeah, every episode recorded. So it's kind of like these challenge people hating on Are You the One, A, is only going to be more of an incentive for them to put more Are You the One people on. But if people don't watch Are You the One, there will be no challenge anymore, because the real world can't be the only feeder to the challenge.
And really, the Are You the One hate is really even more why I think Battle of the Seasons is more likely that there's going to be either just a single representation from Are You the One, or it'll be Are You the One Season 1 and Are You the One Season 2. So that's even more adding to the fuel of the fire for Battle of the Seasons.
And then Ashley Quisada tweeted to Jenna, you have good fans. They called out Ellie to the point where she deleted her rude tweet against you. And then Jenna wrote, well, it's easy to say shit and not tag me knowing I won't see it. LOL, all good. She's irrelevant to me. Again, this is the same thing with Teresa. It's like, if she really is irrelevant, you wouldn't be tweeting about it.
Right. And I've always been confused with when people say, like, they're tweeting hate at me without tagging me, so they're hoping they won't see it. But then they get upset when people tweet hate them with them tagging it. So I don't know what like the guidelines is for tweeting hate on Twitter. Maybe just don't tweet hate. I don't know.
Emily Fitzpatrick tweeted, "So women are inferior species," at Laurel Stuckey, and tweeted four picture screen grabs of Zach totally dying.
It's the best. It makes me so upset they didn't bring that up in the reunion. They should have had Laurel just like, "So Zach, you really think females are worse? Well, let's see what Laurel has to say." That would have been great.
And so that's all I have on this. Before we talk about our predictions and see what came true and what didn't. Do you have anything else?
I don't think so. I'll let you know if something pops up along the way.
Brian, you gotta give me time to eat my Twix cookie.
I mean, I
can't do the cookie crunch on the microphone.
I can keep ranting about how awful diet is, but I think I've kind of beaten that dead horse.
No, I'll lose my appetite then. I won't want the cookie. All right. So I listened to our preview podcast, episode one, our preview before the season, then our episode one with Rob, because that became more of a preview podcast also. And then I started to listen to our second episode. Yeah. So that's where I'm getting this information. And there's some people like we didn't even, like Dustin and Jessica, like we didn't say anything about them. So I just didn't even, there was no reflection. But first, I want a little quiz. Do you remember who you called would have the most airtime on episode one?
I do remember. And I could not have been more wrong. I said Simone was going to have a big premiere.
You called it the Simone story, episode one.
I was just a little off.
All right. Who do you think said me or you? I was really excited to see Avery back. Johnny was able to beat the rookie curse and make his way to the main alliance. People really like him and he can do no wrong.
I feel like that's something I probably Edith would have thought about saying, but I think that's what you said.
You were correct. I said that, haters. I said that. All right.
But this is quickly to find myself with Simone. The only reason I said that is because there was a clip of her going into a fight with Thomas, and I figured that one of them was going to be gone week one, so I figured that would be something they would show week one, but that was never shown at all, so...
I thought you didn't watch any previews.
You can't avoid all clips and pictures and stuff. I follow too many people on Twitter that
in the chat. I'm not watching any previews. Don't send me.
I don't watch them.
I'm not making any decisions based on videos. Now you have to pay for it. Ooh.
That's stupid, Simone.
All right. Who did you, Brian, say this about? This is my least favorite person on the challenge ever.
Naya.
Do you feel so bad for this?
No, Naya's my favorite. She's the best.
And then, let's see. Oh, who did you say was the biggest sleeper pick of the season?
I think I said Adam and Brittany, right?
You agreed that Johnny and Avery were bigger sleepers than Adam and Brittany.
Well, I thought we said that Johnny isn't considered a sleeper because he made the finals last year.
I went and listened to the podcast, and you never said that.
I could have swore that was a topic of discussion, that we'd said that because Johnny already made the finals last year, he shouldn't be considered a sleeper. He may be considered a sleeper for other people, but for us, he's not. But
I don't know what podcast you're listening to, but that never happened on episode one, two, or the preview. Maybe we talk about it later, but we were talking about sleepers, and they were in discussion.
Maybe it was in my podcast streams.
You said, "Oh, I agree that Johnny and Avery were bigger sleepers than Adam and Brittany."
Okay.
And then who do you remember who you thought would be your first boot of the season?
I didn't say Jay and Jenna, did I?
No. You said JJ and Simone. Goes out with a bang the first episode.
All right, at least I had some thought behind my thought she's going to have a big first episode. Wrong.
No, I think you said that we both talked about how she knows MTV and she's going to try to like get even more airtime than she tried to get last time and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, who knows what she was trying to do, but she didn't do it.
No, she was either calm or just failed miserably at trying to create stuff.
And then I said Thomas and Haley would be the first boot. And then we talked about, like, what if they could very well be the first matchup, Thomas and Haley and JJ and Simone. And we were miserably wrong. Okay, so I said about Brittany and Adam that they would be the best drama to challenge competitor ratio. We were way too high on Brittany and Adam.
I think they did. I mean, for competitive wise, they did decently. I mean, they did win three eliminations.
And you were worried that Adam would overplay the persona that got him cast on the challenge and not be himself. And that's fair. Like, he definitely played up that but I'm asking you now.
Is that just himself?
Is that just him?
I think that is just Adam.
Okay, Jay and Jenna, do you think we nailed them or did we fail? Nail or fail?
I mean, I think if we said they're going to be okay but suck, then maybe. I have no idea what we said about Jay and Jenna, so I'll say we missed on them.
We nailed them.
Okay, good.
I literally said they may be just okay enough to coast through.
That's the completely perfect definition of Jay and Jenna. MVP. MVP.
And you said that Jenna was not the right person for the challenge because she won't be able to deal with people. But I just think she wasn't the right person for the challenge. I thought that was a good call right there.
Yeah.
And we both said that Jenna may come into her own. And you said she may have seen how she looked on the real world and be like asserting herself. Total nail, I'll say.
Yeah. Ding.
I don't think we said like they're making the finals. No. Like, I'm not going to say like we nailed it completely, but we had, I mean, I'm not pulling everything we said.
To me, I think if we said they would have made the finals, I think we would have been wrong on that because they didn't really make the finals. They were dragged to the finals.
Just okay enough to coast through. Yeah. When I heard myself saying that, I was like, what?
Hey, maybe I actually know what I'm talking about.
JJ and Simone, I think we've already established we failed. We both had high hopes for their drama potential and they didn't deliver.
They did not.
Johnny and Avery, you admitted your sentimental, emotional, and personal relationship with them, and which you later denied having influence on you. And then I said that Avery may try to get on Nani's case and Nani will fight for no reason.
It's pretty accurate.
Now. And you said, put a little alcohol in Nani and she'll fight anyone. She'll start fighting the cameraman.
I mean, that's also accurate.
Nani and Bananas. The only reason I'm bringing this up because we were so confused by them is that you wrote, I don't know who's giving favors to who, which I guess you implied that there were like sexual favors being given to get Nani and Bananas together on the show.
I don't remember saying that, but that's actually pretty funny.
And then we basically felt like we couldn't make sense of their random tension, which I feel is unchanged.
Yeah. It's even more confusing because there was tension, at least for Nani, which makes it even more baffling.
Sarah and Jordan, do you think nail or fail?
I think we nailed it.
We were about half and half.
Okay.
So I said that Jordan was necessary because he is not willing to align with Bananas and he's like a foil to Bananas. And you said that you said that Jordan is perfect because he's a character. He hooks up with people. He's good in challenges. He's the next generation, the future of the show, and the perfect person to usher in a bananas-less existence. So I think we both felt that he was going to be a foil to Bananas on this show. Do you still feel that way about the Jordan is the future? Jordan is the
future. I do. I mean, I think this is... his athletic coming out party that he has a win now. And I think he'll be piling up the wins over the next 5-6 years, as long as the challenge is lucky enough to still be around.
Free agents, which is when you first, I mean, it's when we first podcasted. I'm sure it's not when you first said that about Jordan, but it's the first time I heard you say that about Jordan. And I feel like he really represented that on free agents. I feel like now he's willing to fall in line in the banana boat. So I don't know. Yes, I do think that just, age-wise, he has a future of being on the show and Bananas has to retire because his, like, knees give out. But I kind of think he disappointed me this season. Like, he didn't hook up with people. He was good in challenges, but he wasn't a good character. Like, I felt like what was great about Jordan last season is that he was a loose cannon.
One of the bigger things I'm looking forward to for next season is to see what Jordan's role is.
Right.
If he's a follower under Bananas or if he tries to assert himself again.
And then I said that Sarah will make Jordan tolerable, that they'll be a low drama, hardworking pair. They were high drama, but they were a hardworking pair. So half and half
for up until the end.
And we both felt that Jordan's not a safe bet, but it's her best chance to win. So there you go. Right. Lira and Aya. again, this was just, I said her craziness is not entertaining. It's psycho and weird. But I didn't think we'd see them on the show and that much, that they wouldn't get enough airtime. I said, I don't think they'll be giving enough. I don't know what that meant. unless she feels she hasn't gotten enough airtime, camera time. But that's not what happened. And you said basically, yeah, like I wouldn't be surprised if this is the last time we talk about them. So I think we underplayed. We expected Nia to be free agents Nia and not this Portland Nia.
Yeah, I think we definitely also underestimated them in her competitors, though. I didn't expect them to do as well.
And then we both said that we would rather see Teresa and Leroy. Is that the call of the season?
I think so. We saw this coming. We knew Nia would sexually assault someone and they would bring back Teresa.
Thomas and Haley was a huge fail. You were really, really high on them. Not like they're going to win, but you were high on them for how they showed up.
I thought they would be the team that would kind of, people would like and want them to keep around and would be dragged to a final.
You thought they would be Jay and Jenna.
I thought they would be Jay and Jenna.
I said that they're scrawny with a bad social game. And you said, you don't see them going far, but you will enjoy the time you get with them. And I said, I hope you get time with them.
It's funny. It is interesting that if, let's say if Haley was the one who hooked up with Zach, it's easily those two teams could have been reversed in how they did the season.
Well, it's really unclear how much of an influence Jenna hooked up. Like, I'm sure it was, but we didn't get to see, like, it was really Jay who was like, I'm not sending them in because I like John A. Like, it really only came into, like, that we heard it as listeners, that we saw it as viewers, when it was Jay and Jenna as the power couple.
Right.
So, like, Wes, like, kind of forged his own relationship with them and wanted to keep them. So I don't know how much that necessarily mattered.
Right.
I'm sure early on, like, yeah, maybe it would have saved them in one.
Yeah, I think it was just the early going part.
But they weren't even hooking up in the beginning. I think everyone just thought Jenna was so hot.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, so Wes and Teresa. This was you saying that, well, you called the steroids thing, because I guess that came up again, that he looks like he was not on steroids anymore. But you said there's no reason.
I was wrong on Wes.
There's no reason he can't beast a final, but is he motivated? I know Teresa is. Wes will be a hindrance for her. And I said, I can't believe you're saying this. And that he has too much pride to not want to win and be bananas. If he's not motivated by the money, he'll be motivated by pride. And this was your biggest fail.
Yeah, I agree. I was off. I was wrong. I'm not perfect.
Zach and John A. I said this let me down, and I still feel exactly the same way.
So we didn't predict the mental and emotional harassment that Zach would give John A?
Honestly, I was just extremely distracted by how many times I said Johanna instead of John A.
That was the best. I think that was my favorite recurring thing throughout the season.
I said John A. I stopped saying Johanna after like the third episode, probably, right? Like,
was it that early? I thought it was later on that you stopped saying it. I don't know, but it was the best thing ever.
I don't know. I think, well, I definitely stopped when the listeners started writing it in the questions, Johanna instead of John A.
That was fun.
In general, neither of us were fans of the concept, so dang. Mm-hmm. And then, do you remember who you thought was in the winner mix? We didn't make a winner pick yet here.
Yeah, I said it was Bananas Nani, West Teresa, Jordan, Sarah, Johnny and Avery, and I think I said Adam and Brittany were on the periphery.
So that was all you said, just the four of them. And I said, I have the exact same with Adam and Brittany. And you were mad because you knew that somebody had asked us about dark horse picks later. Uh-huh. And you were like, thought that was going to be your dark horse pick. Huh. And that's when we started talking about who's a bigger sleeper. I was like, well, I think Johnny and Avery are bigger sleepers than Adam and Brittany. We don't know anything about Avery. Johnny made it, blah, blah, blah. And you were like, yeah, I agree.
Well, I agree.
Blah, blah, blah. Oh, this was a good call. And I wrote in my notes, so close, half credit, but I don't know what it was yet. So, you said it was, this was maybe your best call, that you said it was one of the more wide open seasons. I think it stayed that way the whole time.
I agree. I think so. I was right.
And then this is, you almost had the call of the season here, but then you took it back. So I'll give you half credit.
Oh no. What did I say?
You said maybe somehow Leroy and Nia go on a run. I don't think so, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. So if you had just said,
I hedged myself.
Maybe they'll go on a run.
Don't hedge.
Half credit.
I thought I was going to say, maybe Leroy and Nia will go on a run until Nia sexually assaults someone.
And then we got a question, if there's any chance of Bananas and Wes working together. And this made me laugh. You said, maybe Nani and Teresa will mend that, but there's too much hatred between the guys.
Well, I mean, I'm right about there's too much hatred between the guys, but there's also a lot of hatred between the girls.
And I said, no, there's no chance of them working together. But the more cracks you have in the veterans, the easier it is for the rookies to slip through. I did not anticipate Wes making an alliance of rookies. So it's not even that they slip through. Let's see. Okay, we talked a lot about this season. Is it better to be a real couple that breaks up or a couple that like hooked up in a bathroom once? And now that we've seen the season, what do you think?
I think it's better to be a couple that hooked up in the bathroom once.
Yeah, it's better to be a stretch couple.
Yeah.
Just based on results. I mean, Wes and Teresa, Bananas and Ani, Lira and Naya were the best finishers with a stretch. And then like Avery and Johnny, Zach and John A were the real couples and they were just a shit mess.
Right.
Our dark horse picks. We both picked Adam and Brittany and Johnny and Avery and agreed. Then I said, this might be when we were talking to Rob. I'm not sure where I just took one set of notes for the whole thing. So I said, Leroy and Naya are in the conversation. And I didn't hedge it. I put them in the conversation. Half credit.
You took a stand. I waffled.
And I'm so mad that I don't have our text messages from when. So this is what started. I don't know if the listeners know if I said this before, how the Avery Johnny thing got started. But on the podcast, maybe I did explain this, but on the podcast with Rob, Brian said, like, you know, they're going to be waiting for someone like Johnny and Avery to be an elimination to put Bananas or Wes up against. And I texted him during that podcast. If it was our podcast, I would have interrupted him right there. But when Rob's there, you know, you got to tighten up. So I texted Brian in the middle of the podcast. You really think that they would, Johnny and Avery would be everyone's first pick to put them up against? And you're like, yeah, like they're the best. And I think I said, you know, someone like Leroy and Naya would even be better. I'm going to go back maybe to that podcast and talk about it next year.
You did. I'll give you credit for that.
Full credit. Full credit. We both picked Jay and Jenna to go further than Haley and Thomas. So
All right. Good
on us.
So maybe I didn't think Haley and Thomas would be dragged to the end. I have no idea where I thought that.
Well, you didn't think they were going to be dragged to the end, but you thought they'd be better than Jay and Jenna. Oh, that makes no sense. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't all.
Predictions don't have to be consistent. You can make inconsistent predictions.
Fair enough.
And then the exile twist. You said, I do not like this twist. And then I said, if you get Bananas and Nani out, what a waste, because they can just win their way back. And then I said, when do they come back? Top five? So.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding. But we were both so high on this cast. We both said to Rob, like, this is such a good cast. This was such a great first episode. And I feel like it was like a slow decline from the first episode.
It was just, I don't think we could have anticipated there being just a complete and utter lack of hooking up amongst this cast.
And the hookup sucked. Joanna, wait.
Yeah, there we go.
John A, I just corrected myself. John A and Jay hooking up was disgusting.
And the thing of it is, it wasn't like there were other hookups in the show, because if there were, they either would have been talked about on the reunion or they would have been shown the shit they should have shown. And they weren't. So that means literally the only people hooking up were Zach and Jenna and Jay and John A.
And that little rumor between Leroy and Jemmy, which Leroy stupidly confirmed on Twitter because no one really knew for sure.
Yeah.
And then I did make a comment on Rob's podcast. I misheard Zach and I didn't understand it at the time either. Like, I didn't understand why he would have said what I heard, which is that he broke up with John A because she had no gag reflex. And so I went back and watched the clip. And obviously, he said what makes sense, which is that he was with her because she had no gag reflex.
There you go.
So the ultimate from the corrections department, I went back and listened to it.
13-week-old correction department.
Overall thoughts on the season?
Definitely not one of my favorites. Not the worst, but it was okay. It was just an okay season. Had its moments, good competitive moments, good interesting strategic moments at times, but not the best season at all.
And thoughts on our season of podcast? No, I'm just kidding.
I think we did fantastic. I think this was our best full season of challenge podcasting ever.
Best and only.
Yep.
All right, that's all I got.
Do you have a season long hashtag that we should?
I mean, last time I picked one of the listeners, and he never even said anything. Thanks a lot.
If I had hashtag data after me, I would definitely comment on it. ZZ Klein, where are you at?
He asked questions. Maybe he didn't listen to the whole episode. That's so embarrassing.
That's a little bad. ZZ Klein, come back to us.
Sorry, I'm losing it now because I think that's really funny. And I want to eat my Twix cookie. Let's make a hashtag Cookie Crunch.
Cookie Crunch. If you listen to this podcast, any of our podcasts, Cookie Crunch hashtag. Wait,
did you say if you listen to this podcast or any of our podcasts? If they didn't listen to this one, how would they know hashtag?
I meant this ad. Whatever. You know what? I'm not used to doing it this time slot. It's like throwing me off.
This is Sunday morning, by the way.
I'm used to doing it like at night with the... Not the sun beating on me. It's weird.
All right, I have the cook in my mouth, so let's go.
All right. As always, you can follow me on Twitter, at BusDriversRoute, and they can follow you.
At LaughWeek.
You can subscribe at robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. We were going to be off for a while. There's no MTV show on the horizon.
But... Oh, wait, we didn't say thanks. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
It's only fun because you guys ask really great questions and... are really, really great to interact with. I feel like we know each other, and that's great. So sincerely, thank you for sticking with us.
Absolutely. If it was just us talking, we'd just be debating Johnny and Avery the entire time. So thank you guys for throwing us questions to discuss other stuff. So good job by you. You guys killed it this year. That's about it. We'll be back. Who knows if challenge are either one, whatever it is. We'll keep you updated. But until then, have a good one.